You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast, Black voices conversing on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
This is your girl, Chrisanne, back by popular demand. And this is season eight
season
of
eight.
Young Black Travelers.
Wow.
Now, if you're listening to our voices, welcome back. But if you're not, you might see a little change, might see a little faces here and there. And if you're not seeing our faces, you need to check us out on our social medias. We will be posting the videos.
Yes.
So we have our founder, Asher, in the digital flesh. Say hello, hello.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to season eight of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. I'm so excited to be here with each and every one of you. We're looking for an amazing season, and we can't wait to have these amazing conversations like we're about to have today.
Yes, and not a stranger to us, but of course, in the digital flesh, we have Kiwan. Say hello to our listeners and watchers.
Hello, listeners and watchers. great to be here.
This guy is something else. Yeah, I remember him from I think the LA podcast, right? Mm-hmm. When I think he fell asleep throughout the podcast, but he's back today because he is the center of the attention here, right? So he ain't with a whole group. He's here solo. Wow. Yeah, with myself and him, but yeah.
He's his own party, I swear. Kiwan is his own party. Oh, gosh.
Yes.
How you gotta be.
But now that we have a little intro going on, Asher, Kiwan, you have been traveling routes God knows where for so long. So I wanted you to each talk about the craziest memory or memories of traveling with each other, starting with, okay, Asher, you start us off.
I mean, we've had a few, to be quite frank. I think we've obviously done these boys trips together, the guys trips together. You know, when we used to go to the same church, you know, there's some tea there, right? Like, we don't go to the same church anymore. Some drama happened. But when we used to go to the same church, and this is kind of how Q1 and I met, right? Like, we used to always go to Canada together. So I guess this trip was reliving those moments. I think one of the craziest moments was when we got in the whole accident in Toronto.
Yes.
Every time we go to Toronto, there's something else.
Was this on a bus or something? Or
no, this was
driving. One of our compadres was driving. Thought he was in Brooklyn. Lord.
this was literally, I've never been in an accident like, I've actually never been in a whole accident. And that was one of the only points in a whole other country that I'm in an accident, by the way, in a rental car.
Right in front of the police station.
Rental car.
Wow. So you can't even deny it? How long did it take them to come?
It took over half an hour, probably.
Half an hour, they're right there.
Yeah,
it took sipping her tea and everything.
It took quite some time, and let me tell you how. Also, this story was quite interesting and crazy. Literally, and we keep talking. We listen on our podcast. We tell you all the time all these tips and tricks, and we tell you that you should have travel insurance. And by the way, when you use travel insurance with your credit card, these instances are generally usually covered. I didn't know this at this point, so I could have called the credit card company and have them cover all of this mess that happened. I didn't know this. And come to find out, get back to New York. Somehow the insurance got wind of this and is hounding me down for money.
Wow.
So, well, they paid the deductible. Ooh. They paid to fix whatever, but I don't know why they're asking me for money. So this was real interesting, right? And that was a crazy travel.
Has that been settled?
Well, Listen, we will not divulge anymore on this podcast. I honestly
can't. They can tell about the financials. Keywad, behave yourself.
I also don't know. I don't know how to answer your question, but we will not incriminate ourselves on the Your Black Travels podcast in our first season. First episode of this season.
Well, Keywan, I gave you a chance. Do you have anything?
That's the same one.
Anything?
That is the same one. Other than...
Okay, right, what about a third one? Come on, you had like a lot of adventures with Asher.
Like one of the craziest... Well, I don't think this happened to him, but it happened to a few of us when we went to DR. And these dudes decided to mix up all the fruit that we had left and blend it up and put it in a liquid where I can make like a beverage with it. And I said one of the they thought it was a lime, but it was the orange. It was green, a green orange that hadn't ripened yet. So I said, those are not limes. And they mixed it up. And my dumb self, knowing that it's not lime, communed with everybody and drank the thing. And on the way back, does anybody have stomach issues right now, or is it just me? And luckily, it only affected me like when I was able to get home. So, but that was one thing.
That's crazy. Wow.
But I'm pretty sure there was one more. I just cannot. It's not coming to me right now.
But that's okay, because we're going to get into Canada, which you claim is the craziest one. So after this break, we are going to segue into our main conversation on a winter wonderland in Canada, or was it a wonderland? So stay tuned, guys. And we are back to Young Black Travelers. And we are just excited for season 8. Clearly, we're doing big things, newer things, new levels. And
newer things, Kristen. Newer things. We are on, we've talked for seasons after seasons about launching of the video podcast. And so now we've actually started this. Thanks to Riverside, right? So if you are looking, so Riverside isn't paying us for this shameless plug, but we're going to plug them in because, you know, I think the software is quite easy to use. So if you're looking to start your podcast and you're looking to actually do the video podcasting, I would suggest that you look into Riverside. By the way, you could set up a consulting session with us. You know, we'll sit down with you and we'll tell you how you can get your stuff started, because we've gone through this thing now for 8 seasons. And when we were just like really horrible at it. Now I think we're getting a little bit better. I think
we're doing just fine. You know, Anchor looked at us, Spotify looked at us. So I think we're doing okay. I think we're doing all right.
Yeah.
But enough about us. It's all about you guys. And getting into the main conversation of this winter wonderland in Toronto. And that was sarcasm, because once we get into it, it'll be nothing of a wonderland, I'm sure. But I won't spoil it. I'll let the guests
talk. It was still a wonderland, right? We loved Toronto. And we will always love Toronto. But go ahead.
All right. And what made you guys go to Canada? You went for Christmas. Now, normally we're in New York. Christmas is like, people think of New York with Christmas, right? But you decide to go away from New York to Canada. So I was wondering, from each one of you, what made you go to Canada for last Christmas?
So I wanted to go. I have family in Toronto. My grandmother's sister was living there. And so it was just like pressing. I haven't visited her in so long. And when I was young, every year for Christmas, we would go to Toronto. My grandmother would take us up and visit the whole family, the big family up there. And, you know, my grandmother passed away in 2011, and I really haven't been going there to visit like I should have. And so I said, you know, I wanted to see my grandma. And I was battling with the idea of going because I had I had started a new job. Not COVID. A new job. And I started a new job and I was looking to get like into a next level of the position. And there's like stuff going on and I want to take care of that. And then I was worrying about finances, like that. I want to spend money to go travel right now. And then, you know, Asher hit me up and said, do you want to go to Canada? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go because I feel the drive to go. So I went and so I decided to go and getting ready like a couple weeks before I found out that my grand aunt was not doing well. Like it was like all of a sudden. And then a few days later I got news that she passed away and I was like heartbroken. But I said, you know what, I'm still gonna go. I'm gonna go see the family. And you know, so I was able to go and do that. And you know, saw friends that I have up there as well. So I, you know, that's what made me decide to go.
Wow. That's really deep. And you know, condolences to all the passing and
love
to your grandma. But that's great. Sounds like it was a very special trip for you to go back after so long.
Yeah.
So Asher, what about you? What made you decide to head up Kiwan, even suggest Canada?
Wow. Well, to be quite frank, I asked, there was a few people who were supposed to go on this trip or who I asked initially. You know, Kiwan is always good company. I'll tell you this. If you ever want to have a good time traveling, Kiwan will be that person, right? Good company. So I'm actually happy that Kiwan went ultimately. But you know, I'd started the idea with my sisters. You know, they flaked out. One of them all came up with all sorts of excuses why she's not going. The last excuse was last excuse was that she had a party to go to, and so she was asking in February. I'm joking, no, not in February. She had a party to go to, basically right before we came back. I know initially when I was supposed to go, I was planning to come back after New Year's. And so because she said, you know, she had a party, I think, the weekend of New Year's, and we had also planned a YBT mixer, actually, after that point, I had switched it, which was really fun. If you haven't gone to that mixer yet, you know, Bar Crawl, actually, definitely look out for our next one. But, you know, so that's, so I was supposed to go with her. And then ultimately, I asked the guys and none of them, you know, budged. Kiwan was the only one. So that's kind of how Kiwan and I end up going. But also I had been talking to my cousin who lives in Toronto, probably to go to Canada. And in my mind, I'm like, you know, Canada is in the north. It has snow. New York rarely snows. Why not go to Toronto for Canada, Toronto for Christmas? And I just thought it would have been a great idea.
So it was your fault.
and you can't blame him for everything, Kiwan.
Well, I honestly, even though we're going to get into the meat of what happened, I still think Toronto is an amazing city for Christmas and many other things. So yeah, that's literally why Toronto for Christmas, because I have family there like Kiwan and I wanted to see them. And because I didn't go to St. Vincent, I was like, okay, let me just go see family in Toronto. So that's kind of why.
Okay. Well, I could say that snow is what you got from what I heard.
It's what we got.
It's always good to visit family in Canada. I have family in Canada too that I need to visit as well. So yes, Carabana. Everyone.
Yes, go. Oh yeah, we're going back.
Yes. I would love to go to Carabana. Okay. So hint, hint. But yes, now you're packed, ready to go to Canada, and I want you to just dive on in into, I guess, the meat that you're talking about traveling to Toronto, especially your experience in Buffalo. So Asher, I'm going to start with you on your take of the situation.
Ooh, okay. So listen, we, so obviously we were driving there, right? We weren't taking the plane. We were going to drive there. Apparently this whole snowstorm came up at last minute that everybody had been talking about. If I'm quite honest with you listeners, I think I'd been so taken up at work and I hadn't really been paying attention to the weather report and all of that. So I necessarily didn't know the extent of what was going to happen. We did have a lot of cold days. And also when we left, it was really cold. It was
freezing.
Prior and on the day. It was freezing. So I remember the day like where Q1 and I met up that morning. It was really cold, but before I left, one of the teachers at my job, he kept on saying, "You sure you're gonna make it? You sure you're gonna go?" And I'm like, "Okay, yes, I'm gonna go." I'm checking the GPS, and I'm seeing the roads are still open. I'm seeing the different routes, and so I think ultimately in my head, generally we would take two routes, but there are many different routes, but either the Thousand Islands route, which is up in Kingston, New York, or Watertown, New York, or Kingston, Canada,
Watertown,
or the Buffalo. Oh God, you're gonna hear about that one when we get to the end. But on the Buffalo on the Buffalo border. So I'm like, you know, we're gonna take the Buffalo route because in my head, if a snowstorm does happen, and this is the advice of the teacher as well, you know, in that Watertown area, it is very secluded, away from every civilization. So you probably don't want to get stuck over there. But if you do get stuck anywhere, you know, being stuck in Buffalo could be a better option. You know, that's kind of what also happened. But, you know, but to be quite frank, when we left, it was really cold. And on our drive all the way up to Buffalo, there was no snow.
Buffalo.
We didn't get all the way up to Batavia. All the way to Batavia, which is close to Buffalo, literally, right? Probably like 30 minutes away from Buffalo. It didn't snow. And literally, as we got into Batavia, it was a whole different world. Like we went to Pennsylvania, we came back. It was like regular. But you know what? I would say thank God we slept before reaching that area, because had we not slept, we would have probably arrived there in the night. And had we arrived there tonight and done exactly what happened, it would have been a completely different story.
It would have been way worse. Thank God
we lit it, because I remember getting,
I said it would have been way worse.
I remember getting to Pennsylvania because I think that's where I had the first leg of the drive-in. And I remember getting to Pennsylvania probably around 5 a.m. And so by that time, my eyes were closing and I'm like, okay, let me stop. Let me sleep, because Kiwan was gone, right? So I'm like, let me stop and let me sleep. So I slept from I think about 5 until about 7.
We woke up at like 5 something.
No, we woke up at 7. At like, it was
around. Anyway.
But we woke up in the sunlight. 6.
Yeah.
Yes, we woke up around 7 a.m. and then that's when we continued on the way that Kiwan took that leg. So Kiwan, you could go from there.
Yes.
So I just remember waking up. It was kind of like getting bright. It wasn't bright yet, but we stopped in the Denny's just to use the bathroom. And then when I started driving, it was like around 7 a.m. So we started driving. And so we're driving. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look too bad, because just like Asher, I barely heard about the storm coming in. I don't really pay attention to the news anymore. Shame on me. But yeah, I don't really pay attention that much as I
should. You should have.
Less than here. Pay attention to the news.
And so I heard, couple things about a storm. I was like, oh, we hear storms all the time. So we get storms in, like, in New York, when we hear about storms, nobody's paying any mind because it's never
really as serious as well.
As serious as they say. So, we're driving, and it was good. It was a good drive for probably what, the first 2-3 hours. We get to Batavia now, and Sean starts getting nervous. Like, you want snow? No. We start seeing like snow sticking on the ground. It wasn't snowing, but we started to see the snow that had fell that had stuck on the ground, because before that the roads were clear. Like, it didn't look like it was snowing at all.
Correct.
And we started seeing the buildup. And it's like, what is this? No, it looked like it's snowing up here. So as we get closer now, we get to the I-90 to go north to go into Buffalo. And I see trucks parked up. And I see trucks parked up, and then we keep driving, and we drive to get onto the highway, and there's cones lined up against the entrance. So I'm like, is it closed? Is it closed? So we don't see any sign that it's closed, but we see like a little opening in the cone. So I was like, let's take we get onto the ramp, go onto the highway. As we start,
hold on, before you go there, before you go there, like, uh-huh. The trucks are literally at the entrance. Like, yeah. That's where we're seeing the trucks lined up. They're at the entrance. This area where Kiwan is talking about seeing the cones, the trucks are there, which was kind of like our red flag. And so we're like, trucks are here. They're not driving. Something is wrong. But I guess we were so intent on going on, we just decided to go. And there's a cop over there, but we're not paying attention to all of this. Go on, Kiwan.
I didn't even see the cop, honestly. And, yeah, so I just figured the trucks are there overnight. They just, you know, they didn't want to drive during the night, but it's daytime now. So we make our way. As soon as we get on the highway, it's like we start seeing the wind. It's not snowing. I guess this is what they call it, Asher? The lake effect.
Lake effect. This lake.
Uh-huh. The wind is blowing, and the wind is blowing all the snow that fell, and you cannot see a thing in front of you. And it just looked like the scene out of a movie. Like, we saw cars abandoned, cars in the ditch. Yes. One car was like in the middle of the median area, just buried. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I wonder if somebody's in there. And we started panicking. No, I didn't start. Asher started panicking. and I was like,
Because in my head, I'm like, wait, are we supposed to keep on going? Because literally, because at this time, people are telling us before we drove, people are like, you guys shouldn't be going because there's a whole snowstorm. Now reality has sunk in. Like, we are literally seeing everything that people warned us could happen. Well, people haven't warned us like this type of effect would be happening. And honestly, I think at the time I'm seeing the cars stop. That's what got me. The cars, and it wasn't one car, it was a few cars being stuck to the left and right. The highway is covered. We didn't drive far. And honestly, you drive an inch and the wind blow, you can't see anything in front of you. Are we going to go on? Yes, go on,
Kiwan. I was contemplating in my head, I was like, well, how far do we have to drive on this highway? If we're going to do stop and go, that's going to take like hours. So I was contemplating, am I going to stop and go? Because every time the wind blew, you couldn't see anything in front of you at all. Like, two foot, three foot, you cannot see in front of you. So I was like, should I go? Should I keep going? And then I pulled over. Asher told me to pull over, and you know, that's what I was thinking as well. So I pulled over, and we just sitting there like trying to think of what to do. And then I look in the mirror, and thank you, Jesus. I just seen in the mirror, I see a truck on the other side with the flashing yellow lights. It's a highway, one of the highway patrol trucks, I guess. And I'm like, I'm looking at like, I didn't see that truck when I passed by. So we know who set that truck. But anyway, I watched him, and then he made a U-turn on the highway and came around to us. I was like, oh, he's coming to us. So he pulled up to us and says, you guys know you're not supposed to be here, right? You know the highway's closed. Like, we didn't know. He's like, there's signs all over. I was like, we didn't see any signs. So he makes a call.
I mean, who could have told you that like, you are? That's him.
We make a call. He makes a call and he says, he makes a call and then comes back to us. And then he says, all right, I'm gonna go about face and escort you guys back. So we follow him back. You know, he had the light to, you know, just guide us. The light was just guiding us to the entrance and we made it back out. And as soon as we got out there, it was like back to normal. Like that. All that snow was gone.
Society.
So the high is like the highways was just really dangerous. Really dangerous.
Wow.
Yes, and what we got so bad. So by this time, we now pull into the parking lot at the what hotel did we pull in Q1?
Red Roof or something like that. Red something.
Yeah, one of those hotels.
It had like three little hotels in there.
Was it Red Suite or something?
I don't know, but it was one of them. Was I think Red obviously?
I think it was Red Roof.
One of them. Red Roof. We would have walked. Yeah, one of them we would have wanted to stay in. The other, we were like, okay, we're not staying here. But I think literally while Q1 and I are in the parking lot, I am saying to Q1, listen, well, this is where we recognize that on the highway, like, okay, we are probably going to be stuck. Mm-hmm. Now I said, okay, let's drive up to the cops and let's ask what's happening. The cops tell us that no one is leaving, going into Canada tonight. All the borders are closed. And at this point, we're kind of like, oh, God, what are we going to do? We're calling our family in Canada, Auntie Debbie, Matthew, and Auntie Debbie's telling us how some other family members drove the Thousand Islands route last night to get in. And I'm saying to Q1, well, at this point, because we've driven now literally from 12 a.m. and it's now probably about 11 or 10 a.m. So I'm like, it's about that time. And I'm like, it's like 2 hours now. If we were going to drive under normal conditions, it's about 2 hours to Toronto. So in my head, I'm like, I'm not driving any further. We look at the GPS. What she said was confirmed. That the borders are closed because now, like you're seeing closed borders. Sometimes it looks open, like you don't know what to do.
No, the border, border wasn't closed. The road was closed. You see all the roads were closed.
Yes. The roads to Buffalo, the shortest route, was closed. And so now we're seeing the route to Thousand Islands, which is now telling us 5 hours.
6 hours.
And 6 hours. And I'm like, might as well we stay here tonight or for a few hours because I'm not driving 6 hours to go around this whole lake to get to Canada. Q1 is like, let's go. I'm like, no, I'm staying here tonight. I'm not going anywhere. Q1, go ahead.
Yeah, so we sitting in the parking lot contemplating what our next move was. And in the midst of Keyshawn speaking, I just see these birds just circling around over us, just ready to devour us. And I'm like, "This is Keyshawn. This is what you bring me here for? To die and then be consumed by the ravens?"
Keyshawn, everything's so symbolic in this trip.
I said, that's a sign. I was like, I'm not coming back to Canada ever again.
Wait, what is the term you use? Because, okay, we're friends and they post stuff sometimes when they're like going trips. And I think you said like stock and barrel. I'm not coming back.
I'm not coming back to Canada. and mind you, I went back there following me.
Wow.
So much for that.
So in all of this, there was comedy, right? Like in all of this, there was comedy, but it was a very serious moment. Like we were literally in the moment where we could have literally lost our lives had mm-hmm. we made the wrong decisions. So at this point, when we decided that we are not going forward, because I think Q1 and I were going back and forth, he wanted to go. I'm like, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here. We decided we go into the...
Because it was early and it was still daylight. And if we traveled, you know, we get to the border, you know, we probably could have made it. But at the same time, I feel like that side was a little more secluded. We didn't know what the snow, like how they would have took care of that. We didn't know what we would have ran into. So at the same time, I was like,
we'll talk about that side when we at the end of this, because thank God we didn't go, because when we get into the one of the hotels we went into to use a bathroom, and now we're asking them if they have any rooms. And that's when we are learning that there's really no room at the inn for us. By the way, this is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
There's no room at the inn for us.
So much symbolism. Christmas Eve. Oh my goodness. Like,
this was just crazy. No room. So we're sitting there with a lot of people who are really trying to find a place to lay their head that night. And so now we're obviously talking to people in that area. We talk to this guy from Canada. He was coming from Qatar. And so I guess he had flown into, I think, Detroit.
Rochester?
Well, so he flew in. I think he flew from Detroit. And then he rented a car because I remember he told me that, I was like, Detroit? And so he rented a car because he couldn't get into Toronto. Apparently the flights... So also the flights at that time were like crazy, like crazy chaos. So that's why he rented a car, because he thought that he could get into Canada via land. He obviously was in the same predicament as us, and he had gotten there earlier than we did. And so he said, I guess, obviously he was seeing what we were seeing. We were telling him that it's showing us that on the Thousand Islands side, it is open. And so he was the one who said to us, I don't know if y'all want to go that side. I've driven that side before, but obviously not in this context, right? And he's like, that side is a little bit secluded. I won't drive that side. Thank God we listened. Thank you, Jesus, because I think it would have been worse over there, by the way. So that's what happened. I think we recognized that we weren't going into Canada that night. And we literally, since there was no room in the inn in Batavia, we drove to Rochester, and we landed ourselves at the what was the name of the hotel, Kiwan?
Renaissance.
I think it's the Residence Inn. I think
Renaissance,
and that's where we stayed at a really nice hotel in Rochester.
It was one of the best hotels I've been in. Rochester. I forgot the town called. I forgot what the town was called, but it's like right out.
Yeah. So if by the way, we're learning that Rochester is probably like one of the better towns up in that area. So if you were ever going to go upstate New York, I would certainly recommend Rochester. But that's what happened. That's how we were stuck one night.
Wow.
In the Buffalo region.
But it turned out to be a good stuck because.
Story.
Yeah. It turned out to be a good stuck because, you know, the hotel was nice. The accommodation was nice. We were comfortably, even though that Red Robin roof place didn't have any room in their inn. Jesus made a way. And it was
this whole recording.
Yeah.
There was a
exceedingly abundantly.
Above all, listen. This you keep saying there were symbolisms here. I mean, just like the same night that Mary and Joseph were trying to find a place to lay their head, same thing happened to us. We couldn't find a place to lay. There was no room in the inn. We didn't stay in
the
storm was trying to kill us.
I'm so dead. I'm dead. Oh gosh. But it's good that it was a good stuck and you had friends that was supporting of you along the way. But yes, anyone could have told you that storm was crazy. Like, people did lose their lives in that storm.
Yes.
That's not the end of the Lord. Ended up like one of these ladies, one of these people who lost their life on the tail end.
So
Well, we're gonna get there.
We're gonna get there. But what an experience just getting to Toronto, right? Not even touching Toronto. Just getting there with a whole story in and of itself. But okay, now you finally reached Toronto. And you've been to Toronto before, but is there any recommendations on food and experiences during the holidays in Canada?
Listen, so I've never stayed literally downtown Toronto. I think every time we've gone to Toronto, we've like stayed with our friends who, you know, may live in Pickering, different places outside of the downtown area. And
the GTA.
I think, that's why I actually love Toronto, because unlike New York, where I think it is really hard to drive into maybe Manhattan, it's going to be a lot of traffic and all these things. Toronto is just easy to get around, I think, with your car, if you want to take that GO train, whatever, which I've never taken, but it's possible. It's just easy to get around. So we are usually staying outside in the GTA area. And so this time we stayed downtown. And so
GTA, by the way, is the Greater Toronto area. Like different sections.
Correct.
Like,
So we were able to stay in that area and downtown, and we stayed at the Sheraton Hotel, and it was, I think, an amazing decision to stay there, because we were literally right across from the Toronto sign, right across from the skating rink, right across from the Toronto City Hall, right close to Eaton Center, close to some really amazing restaurant and eatery, as you're asking. So, I remember going to Egg Smart, because honestly, when I travel, sometimes, yeah, we could give you recommendations. Like, I'm telling you that we ate at Egg Smart, and I think you should do it too. But sometimes, you know, as a traveler, all you literally need to do is just Google. And other people will write reviews of different places. I remember Kiwan and I were sitting in the hotel room trying to figure out where we were going to have breakfast. And we just wanted to, it was late, and we wanted a place that served breakfast all day. And Egg Smart was on Google. So that's one of the places that we stayed I remember we also ate at Firk and Young or something like that, which was Firk and Young. That was a good restaurant. And as I get more, I'll probably just drop them here. But, you know, I think as you go into Toronto, one of the things, or go to Canada, though it is probably not the most famous thing in Toronto, because you will get better in Montreal, but poutine is something you definitely must try. And
make sure
you get yourself some poutine when you go to Canada. And so we were on a hunt for poutine, especially on the last night, and we weren't going anywhere until we got poutine. So make sure you add that to your list.
Yes, yes.
And for our listeners, poutine is basically fries with some sort of gravy, but they have other sauces on there as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get creative, but I miss poutine in Canada. It's so good.
From the poutine.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what about you, Kiwan? Any interesting things you would like to recommend to our listener and followers?
One thing I like about the skating is that there's no limit. Like, you can skate as long as you want to, pretty much. People were there, like,
I think there was a 2-hour limit, Kiwan.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that it doesn't close. Like, you can, like, throughout the night, if you want to skate, as long as you have your own skates, you can go and skate.
Yes.
And I think that was cool.
Yes, because it's public.
Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interestingly, what will make sense.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I don't know, just the vibe there was just kind of light compared to New York. It's like, you know, I don't know.
That's why it's a good time to go to Toronto. And I would say, you know, one of the things you need to pay attention to is, especially being an American or being someone from the UK, where your currency may be a little bit stronger, or even the Caribbean, where you use the EC dollars, and, you know, compare that to the US dollars. The Toronto the Toronto dollar is a little bit weaker than the US dollar. So it would kind of make sense if you wanted to shop, you know, you probably would go there around maybe Christmas time, Boxing Day, there's Boxing a lot of Day. Sales. Oh, so the malls were right. packed.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Worse
than Black Friday. I've never actually gone into any Black Friday madness. Yeah, it was packed.
I mean, talk about
a lot of people at the mall
squeezing between people to get from. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's literally. And this is throughout the. It's not only on one day. It seemed like it was happening every day. By the way, I keep mentioning. The whole week, it was happening the entire week because we went to the mall a few times. We were close to Eaton Center. So, again, definitely check out Eaton Center. I love Eaton Center. It's not the first time I've been there. There's a few malls that you may want to go to, but Eaton Center is one of those malls that you may want to shop in downtown Toronto.
So big okay. mall. Pretty big mall.
Yeah.
All right, so we got some food, some experiences. The skating rink is really interesting. Never know you could do it 24 hours. That's cool.
Yeah.
So there are stuff to see, guys, in Toronto. I know New York is usually the Christmas hallmark, but there's things happening around the world during the Christmas time.
By the way, I also wanted to add, and we didn't do it, but it was on our list. At that time, there's the Winter Village that was happening. Which was supposed to be in an old historic area. So if you're going to go into Christmas season, going to the Winter Village could be something that you add to your list. We didn't get to do it because, again, literally when you have friends and family there, you do a lot of other things. So it was on our list, but we didn't get to do it because we were obviously occupied with other things as well. So that's something I would definitely recommend. And if I go back to Toronto in the winter months or in Christmas, at Christmas, I want to definitely do that.
Are you flying or driving?
Flying.
Because remember, always flew and he still had to drive. So I don't know. Wow. I'm going back.
But you said you went back after, so...
well.
But I heard that.
That was for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I heard that the troubles didn't stop when you drove there. And it sounded like you had a lot of fun. I'm sure you spent it with family and everything. But I heard that the troubles still kept rolling when you drove back. So talk about how epic driving back was now.
Kiwan, you want to start?
So first of all, driving back, before we drove back, we were at Auntie Debbie's house, and we just got she packed us all. Blessings. Thank you, Auntie Debbie. She packed us up with food. She made oxtail for us before we left.
God. Makes oxtail with spinners. This is the first time. First time I've had oxtail with spinners, by the way.
Really? From her. That's the first time you had oxtail with spinners?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
It's very good, right?
Yes. It was put us to sleep. We didn't want to drive anymore. So we took a little nap, and then we said, let's get on the road. But before we did any of that, you know, she, you know, we were having discussions about, you know, make sure you have gas, because we heard about the people who passed away because they didn't have gas in their car. And, you know, one woman, she died in her car because, you know, she froze to death or whatever. I don't know. But it was really, it was really bad. So we were really talking about, you know, being prepared. And we said that we were going to make sure that our, you know, once we see half a tank, we're not going to go below half a tank. That was what she told. She drilled it into us. She beat it into us. And, you know, like a mother would, you know, giving us all the good advice. Stop at the certain checkpoints that they have along the way. And because going back, we decided we were going to go the Thousand Island route, which was faster. So we set out on our journey. It was about what time? Like around 7 p.m., I guess it was.
Around 7.
And we set out on our journey and started, and, you know, we, before we went, before we got, you know, we tried to find a, I think we stopped at a Starbucks, got a little coffee or whatever.
Let me take it from here, because I think, because I was driving, that leg. So, because I honestly can't remember Auntie Debbie talking about the gas, but it obviously makes sense, right? I honestly cannot remember. She did, I'm not saying she didn't, but I just couldn't remember. One thing you must know about, and like we keep talking about the two sides that you could enter Canada, either the Thousand Islands route, which is in Canada, or the Buffalo side, which the Buffalo side has multiple bridges.
Before you do that, can I interject? The Thousand Island route, it goes on top of the lake, Lake Ontario, right? Lake Ontario? And correct. The Buffalo goes the bottom side of the lake.
At the bottom.
The south side of the
correct.
Lake.
Correct. So we were going to the top side, right? Which is a more secluded side, because after the last town, one of the last towns is Pickering, where they live, Auntie Debbie. So literally, it would have made sense to leave from over that side. So that's why we went to the Thousand Islands side. And now you're driving now in a wilderness. After you leave Pickering, it's literally open area. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, as I'm driving, I remember, like, everything that the guy was talking about at the border when we were stuck in that hotel was coming to mind at this point. Because I remember Auntie Debbie did say you should stop. Like, they would have a lot of on routes on that side. I didn't really understand what on routes meant until I saw them. These are like basically the rest stops. And so the on routes, you go there, get gas, whatever, you coffee, whatever. In my head, I'm like, okay, there's a few on routes and I should be able to get to an on route before I cross the border. The gas is going low as I'm getting to the border. But before we get there, at this point, when I say everything the guy is saying is coming back to me, because while we are driving on this route, because, like, literally there's no civilizations, open highway again, same scenario like what happened on that highway to Buffalo when he got on there and it was like windy and big snow is blowing. On this highway, it just seemed like it's snowing and it's windy. And I'm like, what is happening? So in my head, I'm like, could you imagine if we were driving here when we were coming to Canada? Because that's why he said, you don't want to drive that route. And so I'm like, oh boy. So I'm taking my time driving. Obviously, at a certain point, I'm seeing the on route and I'm like, okay, I'm thinking there will be an on route before I get to the border. I remember my gas is now really low.
Just so you know.
Knocked out, sleeping all the way. Right before I get to the border, I did see an on route. But for some reason, it's not like the other ones where it's easy to get into. I just either missed the exit or something, missed the entrance or something. So at this point now, like, the only way to go is to the border. And so now I go up to the bridge to the border. Well, there's a bridge before the border. I ask the guy at the bridge, where is the next gas station? He says, when you cross the border, there is a gas station either close by. So I get to the border. Obviously, there's nobody really over on this route.
Be quiet. Exit.
Something along that.
Exit. Yeah, go ahead.
Second exit, whatever he said, nobody is really, really on this side. Cross the border, it's deserted. Once we get off the bridge from the border, like, there is really no way to see what second exit he's talking about. I just don't know. As I'm driving, at a certain point, I'm like, okay, I need gas, because right now I'm on empty. I tap Kiwan and I say, Kiwan, wake up. Like, I'm on empty. Let's get off. Wow. We get off the highway. We get off the highway.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Drive through this town. Actually, we put it in the GPS, actually. The GPS leads us to some gas stations in some town. I can't remember the town. This is before Watertown, by the way. So remember, this area of New York is a little bit more secluded, deserted than most. So this is a town before Watertown. We go to that first gas station. There is... It's closed.
Nothing. Nothing. There.
Literally,
it's like when you see, like when they, you see everything boarded up. That's what it was. It was boarded up.
Nothing.
You didn't even see the Sunoco side.
But at this point, and my gas tank, I don't want to play. Like, I don't have anything to play with. Yeah. I'm on empty.
Exactly.
I don't know how many miles I could drive with being on empty. So now we put in a gas station again. We drive to where the GPS says another gas station is open.
Mm-hmm.
Go there. I don't know what was happening. There's a lot of trucks in there. It's like, let's think wilderness, like ghost town wilderness. It was like really weird.
But there's some lot of type of old... It looked like, it looked like people trucks, were, I mean... there's like evidence of people, but there was no people there. And they had these two giant
eggs. Like a horror movie.
Horror movie. Literally, this one gives a horror movie vibe. I'm telling
That's
you.
How it starts.
This is horror movie vibe because the trucks are there, the gas station is under this little shed, and the gas station is not working. Because it seemed like it was picking up the card, but I don't know if what was happening.
There were so many numbers and so much things you gotta dial. It was different. It was weird. The gas was being pumped from two giant tanks. One for diesel and one for regular gas. It was like the diesel one was looking fine probably. And he's plugging in the card, putting in the number, it says okay, and then all of a sudden nothing comes out of the pump. Nobody around to help.
Nobody to help. I don't know if anyone is in the trucks. I don't know what's going on. Now we go to the third gas station. Mm-hmm. Closed as well. By the way, now we are further away from the highway on empty. Yeah. At this point, I say to Kiwan, we're not even going to try anymore in this town because it seems like everything is closed in this town. I said, Kiwan, it seems like because, as I said, I drove that route before, and I remember Watertown. I said, maybe Watertown, which was the next town, we are going to get something there. And the map was showing, well, it's been showing that these gas stations were open, but they weren't open. So now we are like, okay, let's get to Watertown now. Like the needle is really on, like, closer to zero, by the way.
We called Greg first. Remember Greg?
Yes, we called Greg at the gas station in Watertown. He said they're open. And now we set out to get back to the highway to get to Greg in Watertown. I think it's like 15 miles away.
Get on the highway. Sure somebody was there, and we had to make sure it was open and that a human being was there that could help us. So next time, when you're on empty, make sure you call somebody first. That's another tidbit.
Call somebody first.
That's a good tip, guys.
But at this point now, I'm getting on the highway, and as soon as I get on the highway, probably not like 3 minutes in, all I start feeling the car, it jerks. Something come up, some message come up before like the engine or something like that. Mm. It's jerking because I've never run out of gas before. So I don't know how it was supposed to feel.
That's how it feels.
Now I know, right? It jerks. I'm like, okay, Juan, we're out of gas.
Then it starts slowing down.
At this point, so I'm like, let's just ease to the side. Right. The car is out of gas. The car is out of gas. And we're at the side. Call Greg again, asking Greg if he could now come and rescue us with one of these gas that could just put gas in because that's all we need. Greg says his mom dropped him there and he doesn't have a car, so he can't do it.
Lord.
He would if he could. While all of this is going on, by the way, huh?
Shout out to Greg.
He probably was willing. He
could.
Probably watching this. Shout out to you, Greg.
Shout out to you. You tried. You did. You tried your best.
He tried. By the way, while all of this is happening, out of nowhere, this state trooper comes out of nowhere. But in this story, two of them comes. But this first one was a little bit weird. I mean, Kiwan, do you remember this guy?
I remember this guy. I remember.
I'll talk about him.
Like, out of nowhere, within 5 minutes, like how did they show up? Like, how did he show? Where did? How did he know we were there? How did he show out of nowhere? And then, like, in a few minutes, we were just on the curb for a few minutes. Anyway, so I forget. They probably got radar and they see something.
It seemed quite demonic to me, to be quite frank. This one was demonic.
That's some horror movie stuff.
He came.
This was horror movie.
And, like, just this weird smile on his face. Like, hey, are you guys all right? What's going on? So Ash is telling him the whole situation. And he was on the phone with, what you call him again? Your roadside assistance? You were on the phone with roadside assistance before he pulled up. And he's like, you're telling him the story. And all he's doing is laughing, this creepy, weird laugh. And
no type
of help, no type of solution. And I'm just like, what's your point? In my head, I didn't say this, but like, what's your point here? What's the purpose of you here right now? So he's just, I thought he was going to help us, but no, he just laughs. And then after a few minutes, he gets back in his vehicle and says, no, just leave. Says, I hope it works out for you guys. And leave. So.
Literally.
Wow.
But he did give, did give a good advice. And he did say, if roadside assistance doesn't help, then call 911.
Yeah,
because ultimately, that's what we have to do.
Anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
Literally, so listen, I keep saying at this point, we are in the wilderness. We are in no man's land. We are in a horror movie. Like, we're
around us.
Nobody there. And so apparently, we are calling roadside assistant. I'm calling the insurance. They apparently, at a certain point, they're like, they've called over 30 providers to come rescue us and give us gas. No one is responding. At this point, I'm like, okay, it's probably time to call 911. Call 911. And I keep echoing to them that literally it's not that there is an issue with my car. It is that we've run out of gas. That's literally all we need.
Can you please bring us some gas?
Please bring us some gas. I tell you, literally, as we call them, I think about 30 minutes later, another state trooper come, and she was really kind. She was really nice. She showed up and she was like, because I think it was because I called 911, why we got help. Because it wasn't from the insurance, because till now my case was still open on roadside assistance.
It was not.
Even it was from 911. Till now it's still open. Nobody showed up. They're still looking for us. She showed up and she was like, we got your call. She said whomever it is on their way.
Road Warriors,
something like that.
Oh,
she's like, are you guys warm? Do you want to come into my car to warm up? I was like, wow, that's nice. Like,
I think she's wearing a blanket.
Yeah, she offered him, and she literally stayed there until the guy showed up with the red jug to give us gas.
Shout out to her.
Kudos to her. By the way, don't get yourself in this situation again. Listen to Auntie Debbie when Auntie Debbie tell you make sure your tank doesn't go below half, because. So after he was doing whatever he was doing, she came up to me and she was like, by the way, how much did he charge you for that? That's how much this man charged us. I'm going to give you a minute. Krista, how much did you think he charged us? By the way, he didn't even fill the tank.
One bar. No, not a third.
I'm going to say 100. I'm going to say 100.
A bar.
I'm going to guess probably 250 maybe.
Okay, so it seems like you've been in this situation before, that's a great guess.
That's another story for another time. You know what it is.
Okay, so you weren't the right person to have. You just let the poser listen. This man, it wasn't 250, so I guess your experience was a little bit more expensive. He charged 217. I'm like, this guy didn't even fill up. It probably was like 2 gallons that he put in there.
It wasn't even a quarter.
Because we had to go to the gas station.
Just enough to get
this much.
just to get to Greg to fill up again. So never get yourself in this predicament. Do whatever you can.
Mind you, if it was freezing like how it was for that, you know, so those people who, like, we could have been in that situation. We're lucky the temperature was a little bit moderate.
Because the car turned off after a while.
Yeah.
It turned off after a while. So thank you, Lord. Wow.
Wow. So, well, back to me. How am I going to top that? That's crazy.
They try to take us out going and they try to take us out coming.
Yeah, take us out going.
But
take
you
us
made
out
it
coming.
Either way.
But we made it. Mm-hmm. We made it. Thank you, Jesus.
But you made it a one piece, and I'm glad for that. Mm-hmm.
Gloria a Dios.
If you don't get the words, that reference was from what season that was? Man, we had a lot of seasons.
I think
we
had a lot of season six, probably.
Yeah, season six.
It was about Vegas. Jessica and William in Vegas. Go back to that one.
I heard that one. Yeah.
So wow, guys, wow.
Oh wow, what?
So when I talked about Winter Wonderland, that was the wonder in the Wonderland. Coming in, coming out, in between. Well, it was an eventful Christmas, right? So that's what you wanted, Christmas, and that's what you got. Yes, it was.
Maybe that's what we need to call it. It's a Christmas to remember.
But you know what? A Christmas to remember. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to close off this main conversation. Listen in. We're going to have all the tips on our website when we post this. So stay tuned for that. And as we are taking our second break, we'll come back with a quick shout out, a closing of the conversation, and a little game, and some takeaways as well. So stay tuned until we come right back.
Stay tuned.
Once again, guys, to Young Black Travelers Season 8 opener. And you know we have to start with a bang. We have to start with a whole crazy. They had a horror movie story. Mm-hmm. Almost lost their lives.
Kiwa, what are we going to call this horror movie?
What would you call it?
Because the only thing that was left was for us to be killed and come back to life. That was the only thing that was left in this one.
Now, if that happened, that would be like...
The Nightmare Before Toronto.
There's too many options for this topic, man. Wow. Oh, God. Oh, man. But I'm glad you guys are okay in one piece and that you were able to have at least an eventful trip. Which is what you care about when you travel. It might not be what you expected, but more stories than, you know, one can hope. So glad for that. And we're going to give a quick shout out to one of our good friends, Matthew, who is from Toronto.
And
yes, give it shout to him. Matches. The deep sits.
Shout Matthew. Out to you.
So he rolls deep with us, and his IG is originally Tosh, but he has other handles as well, which is on his profile. So you'll see him singing and touring and talk about his faith. But he's also a good friend. So yes, that is his page.
Originally Tosh.
Yes. Yeah. So shout out
show
to
me
him.
A Kendra cap.
Oh my gosh. But still, he's a good friend of ours. Shout out to him, Auntie Debbie, and just the entire clan, because they've been rolling this us for deep. Mm-hmm. And you know,
that is his right page.
So shout out to him and follow him. Yes, that's the family. That is family. So
shout
show
out
some
to
love
you,
on his page. Yeah, shout out to you. So let's play this quick game. This or that.
I love it.
So, I'm going to dive right on it. You know I love to ask the tough questions. So, would you prefer Canada during the summer or during the winter?
During the summer, definitely.
You on?
During the summer? Mm-hmm.
Caribana,
because it's really also very, very beautiful during the summer. Like, unlike compared to New York, you can actually see sky. You can actually see blue skies. You actually see stars. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. The temperature in New York is moderate. I see like three, and then like four others.
Well,
like,
because you're coming from the great, you know.
Nah, when you go outside of New York, you don't really see stars. But
well, I see stars.
That's something different.
That's up for debate. But yeah, Asha, what about you? Summer or winter in Canada?
I would agree with Kiwan. I would say summer. Because, you know, you're able to... even though I enjoyed the winter experience, I would say summer.
And people have this notion that Canada is always cold. The temperature is pretty much similar to, or if not better than New York. But,
I don't know about better. That's up for debate, too.
It'd be better.
Yeah, I don't know about better because it gets colder quicker in Canada, by the way.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So...
But I agree. I will go with summer as well. So, unanimous summer. So, Christmas in New York or Christmas in Toronto?
Ooh.
What say ye, Asher?
I say Toronto. I really enjoy... I really enjoy that experience, especially where we were. And it just felt festive. And I think coming from the Caribbean where Christmas is not just one day, it is a season. I think in the U.S., there's so many holidays. There is Kwanzaa, people are usually so on edge with what they celebrate. It just takes away from the holiday, from what I knew growing up. And so that's why, you know, going to a country where they are literally celebrating the Christmas season. And that was really nice. Boxing Day, something I grew up at least knowing about. I mean, they sell it like in St. Vincent, we weren't having sales on Boxing Day. St. Vincent, we were literally, I remember like if my grandmother cooked or somebody cooked, you go to their house and you have cake and black wine on Boxing Day. But in Toronto, you know, it's this whole thing about shopping. But so it was just nice to be back in that Christmas season space again.
That's cool. What about you, Kiwan? New York or Toronto?
I was a little torn because I'm used to Christmas in New York, but, you know, Asher is right. You do get more of the Christmas feel there. They extend it. You get more of the feel of Christmas there. And also me going there very like many, many Christmas when I was younger, I used to always spend Christmas in Toronto. So I'll go with Toronto.
All right. Well, I can't vote because I've never been to Christmas in Toronto, but maybe that will change. But I'll take your word for it. That has been very good over there. And let's see. Canada by car or plane? I feel like somebody answered that already, but I'll let you two answer. Starting with Kiwan, would you travel by car or plane?
I said the next time I'm traveling by plane. But I don't know. If it's snowing, if we go through that, I think we were lucky that we drove, honestly, because we had a resource that we could fall back on. Like in reference to that guy who flew and his, like the flights were delayed, they couldn't do anything, but people were stuck in the airports and we were able to move around, you know, even though it was through treacherous terrain, we still were able to move around. So I think maybe.
Okay.
But the flight will definitely knock it down.
What about you?
So, cut the house.
Listen, Kiwan, I certainly choose the plane. The road trip was fun. It was nice. But I think that when we're talking from the New York perspective, flying from New York to Toronto is literally about an hour or less. Mm-hmm. You go up and you come down. And you're driving there for 8 hours. That's if you drive straight, which you're probably not going to do. But it is still a good experience, especially if you've never done it. I would recommend that you do because there are options. So if I'm going for Caribana, I'm not driving. I'm taking the plane. But, the road is also a really good option too. So, yeah.
I always wanted to drive to Canada to see how it feels, though. All right, I was thinking about driving to Caravana.
We'll drive to Caravana.
Are you always rich, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
You always second it. What? Outside. Just said wanted to drive.
No, because you know rich, I have family rich. There.
Leg.
No, I never. You know, I never taken the plane. Actually, I've always driven. Mm-hmm. It's always a thing that my family would drive there for a reunion because a lot of our family are in Toronto. So, but I've never done it. I'm always the kid in the back seat, sleeping or whatever. So it'd be a good experience, like you say, to finally, if I have my own vehicle,
you say, y'all,
to drive.
Harry Potter, y'all, do the road trip.
Okay.
I got an SUV, I can drive. So we don't have to worry about, it'll be summer, so we don't have to worry about.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the trouble. Don't worry, I won't take you to a near-death experience like Asher did.
I did not take him to the near-death experience. Don't talk about this podcast and let these people think that everyone I took this man to be an experience.
Everyone knows that when Asher goes on a trip, something happens.
Listen, Ashley can't even say anything because I went to Panama with you, and that was a whole two-part series. Okay,
I love it because it's the experience. I love it. You learn how to go through, how to navigate through certain situations.
I guess it's what happens to you.
Well, it's fun when you sit back and you laugh at the story, right? But in the moment, it is not fun.
Go watch Asher K for all the trouble that he has given me in Panama. Lord. Flashbacks all over again.
Given you, I was digging through it.
I know. We're all going through it, like, at the same. Just look to Asher K on YouTube, okay? For all that. But one last question before we close out on this amazing opener of season 8. Give me one major takeaway from this whole trip and one thing that you would actually change. So starting with you, Kiwon.
You know, I don't like essay questions.
You're on a podcast.
One major takeaway. Well, I am walking away with whenever I go somewhere, keep my tag above half. I'm walking with that. Good. And what's the other question?
And one thing you would change from the trip. Uno.
I don't know. I don't think I'll change anything because.
Aww.
It was a good experience. It was a challenge. Okay. It was a good experience, so I'm glad it happened and we learned, and you know, we have something to look back on and say, you know, we've been through this. So I wouldn't change anything.
That's sweet. Asher, what about you? One major takeaway and one thing you would change from the trip?
Definitely. I would say if you're traveling in the winter and you live in the north, you need to pay attention to the weather report. Like really map this whole thing out before you go and driving or flying, either way, like pay attention. I think we were a little bit irresponsible, I would say, on that end. Because I think had we really paid attention to the weather report, we could have made some different decisions. It could have been, let's leave earlier. Let's leave the day before. Even though, I mean, like, we could have, like, switched up all these things at last minute, even though we probably would have taken off some time but from work. But I think, yeah, definitely pay attention to the weather report, because that was one of the reasons why we landed or ended up in that situation in Batavia, Buffalo, in that region. The last question you said, what I would change?
Yeah.
I would change the end. I did not necessarily enjoy, even though it was a learning experience. Yeah, I learned how it feels when your car runs out of gas. Mm-hmm. I don't think I necessarily enjoyed. And I remember Kiwan was joking at the end, right? Because the man is a clown. He got up from his slumber, started to joke, and I was a little bit peeved at that point because I was done. I was like, wow, this I couldn't wrap my head that this was literally happening. And so yeah, I would change that last encounter, even though okay. I learned from it. I would change that.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man. But I mean, with you two, it's like always a good trip, no matter. So,
and you and him will have that good trip to Caribana in the summer. So,
this is business. It will be no problem with me. Trust me. But anyways, but this was a great conversation. I had fun as per usual when it comes to Asher Kiwan in the same place at the same time. So. I'm just going to remind you listeners to support our podcast and our, you know, video cast now by becoming a monthly contributor to continue to hear our great stories. Now, we thank you guys because of your contributions and how much you support us. We're able to do bigger and greater things, right? Where you've seen our faces. So we want to give you better quality. So the more you support, the more quality we want to give you. So contribute, give us suggestions, questions. We want to hear stories from you.
Keep on. You're a guest, Keep on. So it's okay on your end.
It's okay on your end. Okay. But just continue to support us. We do have our anchor, but we do have our Riverdale. So you might see us in a little bit more platforms if you're hearing from us. We're going to be in more platforms. So make sure you're watching this video too, right? So, and also be mindful of your travels, right? You heard it from Asher, you need to watch the news, but also, you know, keep sanitary practices. You know, COVID is slow, but it's not gone, okay? So make sure you keep yourself safe, sanitized, and careful, right? And I think that's the end of season 8 opener.
Wow. Let's all applause for 8 seasons. We started this. Thank you. Okay. This is good.
Cheers to many more in 2023. More. Yes. So take care, guys.
This is Kim and I'm out.
Deuces.